This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
The Yontif of Shavuos, which of course is the day that we celebrate Kabbalah Satera, the day that we, as a Klal Yisrael, as an Am Yisrael, we're Chaygig. We celebrate Kabbalah Satera. And so, the day is set aside for a lot of Torah learning. Many have accustomed to stay up all night to learn. The reason for staying up, brought in the Magen Avraham, we stay up and we learn to be mesakin that originally, when we went to Kabbalah Satera, we overslept. He brings from the Pirkei Reb Lezer that Klal Yisrael overslept. And because they overslept, they came late to Kabbalah Satera. It is for that reason that we stay up all night. Anticipation. Stay up all night, anticipation for Kabbalah Satera. Now, L'chaira, if you want to be misakin, the fact that they overslept, so they should have done something different. They should have made a minhag, a custom, that you go to sleep and you wake up earlier. You want to be misakin the fact that you slept and woke up late, so be misakin to sleep and to wake up early. That's l'chaira, the right formula, tshuva, for the so-called chet. If someone went to sleep and he overslept, so the tikkun should be to go to sleep and maybe wake up an hour early to show that fakir, I'm coming early. Why do we not sleep at all? What's the meaning to not sleep at all entirely? Fakelt. It's much harder to go to sleep and wake up. To stay up all night is a psanizia zach. It's much easier. So al shuva, we should have been misak in a minag that we should go to sleep and wake up an hour early. I think to myself that could be that there's a kavana that we bedavka don't sleep. Yes, hakutikasha. You want to fix the fact that you overslept an hour, so you know what? Pay back that hour. You want with a little kefil, all right? With a little interest, an hour and 20 minutes, all right? Remember, my Zayde Zechein Levracha once asked my brother, as a little boy, they say, oh, from the Chafetz Chaim, that when a person is Geisel Shina, when he steals sleep, there's no tikkun for it. There's nothing you could do to misaken. How are you going to fix? How are you going to pay back? You stole a guy. So you steal a guy's money. You can pay him back with money. But if you steal a guy's sleep, how are you going to pay him back? So my brother said, Zayd, I don't understand. I have a way how you can pay him back, for example. If let's say you took sleep from your parents, right? They were supposed to sleep Shabbos afternoon. Yeah, they were supposed to sleep Shabbos afternoon, and you took away their sleep. You know how you pay them back? You tell them it's Shabbos, go to sleep, and I'll do the dishes. Like this, you pay them back the hour. I remember my Zaydus, he smiled. He saw the wisdom in the question. The point is, you want to pay back for oversleeping, so take away an hour. Just like my brother's chidush was, that if you want to pay back a lost hour, here too, you want to take and pay back an extra hour. So take away an hour. Why were they misakin that we should stay up all night? Mir dachtzach. That they actually went to the root of the problem. What was the chisaron that they came late? It wasn't the coming late. The question was, how could you even go to sleep? Anticipation. How many times does a person say the night before his wedding, he couldn't sleep all night? Why? He was so excited. The taina wasn't that you went to sleep and woke up late. The taina, how could you even go to sleep in the first place? Now the truth is, Bali Musar speak that by Avraham Avinu, we find that he went to the Akedah, Vayashke, he woke up early. Bali Musar say the chiddush is not that he woke up early, that he even went to sleep. The godless of Avraham Avinu was that he went to sleep. To go to sleep the night before the Akedah, and the answer is, if you have to go to sleep, you go to sleep. That's what Bali Musar bring out from Avraham Avinu. Good, but maybe Avraham Avinu was capable of that. But a regular Hamei Nam, Klal Yisrael, you shouldn't have been able to sleep. You should have been so excited. And so, what's the word, nisragish, that you shouldn't have been able to sleep. And that you slept and you overslept. So how do we misaken that? By not sleeping at all. To show anticipation. This gives me a yisayit in Shavuos. Shavuos, we're supposed to express our love and anticipation for Torah. We're supposed to express to the Rebbeinu Shloilam our excitement, our inner helgeshim, that mamish, we can't wait. Nafshi chashka. I just like when a person gets married, he can't wait. It's the excitement, right? The excitement. Teira was a chasana. Klal Yisrael was by Maimon Har Sinai, like they got married to the Eibishter. The Teira is the ksuba. Many have a minhag, a custom, that they read a ksuba, ki'ilu, there's a ksuba between the Rebbein Shalom and Klal Yisrael. It's important to show and to express the excitement, the cheshik that we had. And that's a chelik of the yantif. And that's where the minhag of staying up all night to show cheshik ha-teira. It's not just enough that we learn the teira. We have to show our anticipation, our cheshik. What is cheshik ha-teira? What is it? What is cheshik ha-teira? You know, there's a yesod in teira called teira lishma. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in the last perik, emphasizes the importance of learning teira lishma. Hameir reimer kala esik. Tremendous. Teira lishma. Okay. Anyone who learns teira lishma gets everything good this world, next world. Unbelievable. What's teira lishma? What does it mean? Teira lishma is a sugya, complex. It's a sugya which many different opinions were given to explain what Teira Lishma is, and I'd like to go through it a little bit. And then to see how it applies to us, and then how, if it does apply to us, in what level, and how could we achieve that goal of learning Teira Lishma. As I explained to you, Shavuos, we're trying to not only just learn and celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah in commemoration of the fact that we accepted the Torah, but it's also about stressing. It's also about expressing the love, the cheshek, the ahava that we have for Torah. You know, we say Akdamas before we read the Torah Shavuos morning. Akdamis are words of beauty and praise, thanking the Eibishter for creation and Torah. It's such words of eloquence, of love, and expressing of feelings. And like I say, because Shavuos was supposed to express our hergeshim, our feelings, our love, our cheshik, our ahava for the Teira. What is Teira with cheshik? What is Teira with ahava? What is it all? Teira lishma. What is Teira lishma? So there's an interesting rush that becomes the starting point of this sugya, this issue. Rush is on the Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Samach Beis. The Gemara says, "Asei dvarim, Reb Lezber Tzadik Eimer, Asei dvarim l'shem payalam." When you do for the Creator, for the Rebbeinu Shleim. V'daber behem, Teira, you have to speak l'shmam, which is l'shma, which is this Remeir, Teira l'shma. Says the Rush, what does that mean, l'shmam? So the Rush called the Birechu Masecho B'divrei Teira Yia l'shem Teira. L'shmam means l'shem Teira. Kigain, Leida, Lahavin, Lahesin, Lekach, Upilpul. More learning, more understanding, more Teira. V'loy lekanter uli hisgayis. But not to make yourself big or to fight with others, to give yourself power. So Teira l'shma is for the sake of Teira and not for the sake of kavod and power. There's a lot in this Rosh Hashanah. Some want to say Teira l'shma means l'shem Hashem. What does the word l'shma mean? L'shma, whose name? Whose name? You know, there was a joke that they used to say in the yeshivas that people who learn Teira l'shma for her name to get a good shidduch. The guy is the best guy in yeshiva, so he gets a good list of names. L'shma. A joke in the yeshiva belt. This guy, he learns Teira l'shma. But what does l'shma mean? Whose name? L'shma, her name. The kala, the shidach. This is a big issue. Who's the l'shma? Darizal learns l'shma means l'shem Hashem. The name of Hashem. Rebbeinu Shleilam. It is because of this that Reb Chaim Volozhiner wrote his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim to vehemently disagree with the Kavana of L'shem Hashem. It doesn't mean for the Eibishter. When you learn Teira, you're not learning L'shem Hashem. Now, what does that really mean, L'shem Hashem? That's also not so clear. But we could say either it means one of two things. Either it means L'shem Hashem, L'shem HaMitzvah. L'shem Hashem could mean either L'shem to get close to the Eibishter. Well, L'shem Hashem, because the Eibishter wants it, it's for his sake. There's three ways to learn L'shma, meaning L'shma the Eibishter. Again, Rav Yisai. Let me tell you, this is Yisai de Yadus, Rav Yisai. Meretach Yisaidim, Yisai de HaYisaidis. Every Yid must listen to this year. You have to. This is what the base of Gans Yiddishkeit and Teira is all about. I just bring it out in the context of Shavuos, where it's the Yontif which is designated for celebrating Teira. So daf wissen was Teira is. You have to know what it is. You got to know what Teira is that we're celebrating. So I'm telling you, it's not enough to celebrate the Kabbalah that Teira that we accepted. It's not enough to celebrate that we learned Teira. But part of it is to celebrate Avas HaTeira. Shavuos is designated for Teira, not just Kabbalah HaTeira and not just Limud HaTeira, but to express the love, the cheshik, the ahava that Yid has for Teira. And that's why Agdamis is the piyut that is said before we read the Teira, beautifully and eloquently expressing unzer hergeshim, our feelings for Teira. Teira l'shma. What does l'shma mean? The ikar is Teira l'shma. This is the ultimate way of learning. It's the It's the tachlis shall tachlisim of all the tachlis. Tayyidu lishma. What does lishma mean? Whose name? So the Ari learns lishma means l'shem Hashem. The question is, what does that mean? So we can learn l'shem Hashem means l'shem the mitzvah Hashem. L'shem, yichud, kutcha, brichu, like the lishma that we have, which is a question for itself, according to the Noida B'Yehudi, you're not supposed to say. L'shem yichud, he was very vehemently against it. The whole Indian of l'shem yichud, but there's a whole world, chassidim, sfaradim, they say l'shem yichud. So that could also mean l'shma, l'shem yichud, kitcha, brichu, shechinta, b'dechilu, l'shem Hashem, like all other mitzvahs. Or does he mean l'shem Hashem to get close to Hashem? Or does he mean l'shem Hashem for the sake, because the Eibishter wants it, he has from it. You know, Rabbi said there's a chida that brings from Reb Chaim Vital that l'shma means to bring nachas ruach to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what l'shma means. To bring satisfaction to the Eibishter. Ashrei mi she'amal le'batere ve'eise nachas ruach li Yitzchak. We say it, we sing it. And when you learn Torah, it brings a nachas de'ebishter. That could be what Dari means. It's a good question. But all three pshatim in Dari need to be examined. Does l'shma mean l'shem ha'mitzvah, like all other l'shem yichud? L'shem Hashem? Does l'shma mean that it has to be like, let's say, by the mikdash? V'asu li mikdash li le shmi. Maybe here too. L'shma means li le shmi. Maybe. L'shma li le shmi. Like in the mikdash. Teres kedush. It's also kedusha. Li le shmi. Or does he mean li to get close to me? L'shma, to get close to the Eibishter. Or does he mean l'shmi for the Rebbeish, because the Rebbeish has from it? Like the Chida brings from Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Valojina vehemently argued with all this, and he said it has nothing to do with mitzvahs. It has nothing to do with dveikus, getting close to the Eibishter. He says there are many that make this mistake, and obviously he means this. He means the way a big chelik of Klal Yisrael understood the Ari's pshat, that it's to get close to the Eibishter. He says it's not that. And he quotes this Rosh, where the Rosh says clearly, what does it mean, l'shmi? What does it mean, l'shma? L'shem ha-teira. The l'shma is not the Eibishter. The l'shma means l'shem ha-teira. The Arizal learns l'shma shel Hashem. Reb Chaim V'lozhin in Nefesh HaChaim says l'shma l'shem HaTayim. People misunderstand Reb Chaim V'lozhin, and they think, therefore, let's cut dveikus of the Eibishter out of the Torah. When you learn, you shouldn't think about the Eibishter at all. It shouldn't be about Hashem. It should be Torah only for Torah. It's also a mistake. That's not what Reb Chaim V'lozhin meant. Because if you look further in Shar Dalit, in Shar Dalit Peri Gimel, where he says this, and in Peri Dalit he says, in the bottom of the Haggah, what does it mean to learn Torah L'shma? On the bottom he says, but you've got to be connected to the Eibishter the entire time. And if a person's learning and he feels disconnected from the Ribbono Shel Olam, he should stop. And he should dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam. That he should get closer and connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you see that Reb Chaim V'lozhin did not mean to disassociate dveikus of Hashem from the Torah. He meant only that that shouldn't be the tachlis, the goal. The goal is not to get close to the Eibishter. But it's definitely a t'nai. And I would call it a t'nai koyim l'maisa, that you have to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can't learn Torah on a beach, l'havdol, sipping a pina colada. It doesn't work that way. The Torah has to be with dveikus in the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're right. It's not l'shem the dveikus. But it's got to be connected to the dveikus. Hand in hand. say over that the Brisker Rav, when he didn't understand the Taisis, he would say, ah, Rabbi Nishlam. He would murmur to himself, ah, Tata, Father in heaven, Tata in Himmel, Tata. What was he doing? So either he was crafting because it was hard, you know, it's hard to learn the Taisis. And that's how they used to craft. In Bris, they learn everything up from the Brisker Rav that was with a special intent of halacha and hashkafa. So they explained that he was davening to the Eibishter. What was he davening? So maybe he was davening, he should learn Pshat and Taisus. Yeah, but Taisus has to come from you. Taisus can't come from the Eibishter. Or maybe the Eibishter should help him understand the Taisus. Siyata Deshmaya. Or maybe he was doing this Reb Chaim Volozhin, the Dveikus. Getting close to the Rabbi Nishlan. In Bris, they say that the reason why he would say this when he had a taste, he didn't understand. When he came to a Gemara, he didn't understand. He would say, Tati, he would daven to the Eibishter, Dveikus. Reb Chaim Volozhin have gone the bottom to get close to the Rabbi Nishlan. You know, there's a beautiful Meshech Chachma story. Shechachma was learning with his Chavrusa. They came upon a difficult Gemara that they didn't understand. So the Meshech Chachma, Rameh Simcha, turns to his Chavrusa. He says, let us dive into the Eibishter that he should help us. We should be able to. So the Chavrusa said, it's a good idea. Good. Let's do it. Wait. Says Rameh Simcha, what are you going to dive for? Let me hear. He says, what do you mean? I'm a daven to the Eibishter. He should help me, enlighten me. My eyes should open up and see Galena ve'bitun flois b'tayresecha. He says, no, that's not what you should daven for. No, you're missing, you're not doing it right. You know what you should daven for? An example, he says, you have a child. He's crying. Everybody comes with a different solution how to get him to stop. One guy says, let's give him a pacifier. The other one, let me give him a rattle. The other guy shakes him. Another guy goes, blah, 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 makes funny face. Till the mother comes. The minute the mother comes, he goes, well, you don't understand, he's thirsty, he needs a bottle. Why? Because only the mother is close enough to the child to understand what the child is in need of. What's he calling for? What's the tzairach? It's called Havana, understanding of the mother to the child. And that's connection. Let's dive into the Eibishter that we should get connected to Torah. And we connect to the Torah, we'll understand what the Torah is telling us. You hear? If we get connected to the Torah, like the mother is connected to the child, understands the child, we'll understand what the Torah is telling us. My Zayda told me this story. My Zayda Zechariah Levracha told me this story. And I said to him, I was a young kid at the time, I said, Zaidi, can I say a different pshat in the tefillah that you're supposed to daven, and in the mashal to the mother? So first he said, no. He says, you always have to say something different. What's wrong with what Rameh Simcha said, he tells me. What's wrong with what this? I said, all right. I said, I feel a different pshat. He says, you know what, okay, let me hear what it is. Then he tells me, are you sure? Because you don't have Rameh Simcha's Rameh Simcha. You know, what he says was clear and final. I said, Zaidi, maybe the pshat is that actually we don't mean that we're going to get connected to the Torah. We're daming to the Eibishter. What does the child really need? Is it the bottle or is it the attention of the mother? And that no one else could give him, you see? It's sometimes even the bottle, if someone would give it, would it work? Because it's not the bottle. It's the hug of the mother. I said, you know, in Torah, you know sometimes what we're missing? The dveikus. Sometimes what we're missing is that the Rebbe Nishlom, b'davek libeinu b'mitzvei secha, we should become davuk to the Rebbe Nishlom. The fact that we don't understand is the other way around. We're not understanding what the Rabbeinu Shalom is talking to us. Rabbeinu Shalom, give us that hug, give us that warmth, and then we'll understand. So it's not so much the dveikus to the Torah, but maybe fakert, But the pshat is that while we're learning, sometimes we're not that close to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. So we need to rub in that the Rebbeinu Shleilam should bring us, so to speak, close to him. And with this we'll understand the tesis. Like the mother's giving a bottle, someone else could have came up with the bottle. It's not the bottle. It's when the mother holds the child as she gives the bottle, and that's what the child is crying for. It's the hug of the mother. But this Rabbeisai, I believe that we have to understand Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that it's true, on one hand, Teira is L'shem HaTeira, like the Rosh says. But it can't be, it's not going to work without the hug of the mother, so to speak, without the Dveikus and the Rebbeinu Shleilam. You know, I would say the Teira L'shma is the bottle. The kid wants the bottle. He needs the Teira. It's L'shem HaTeira. But it goes well, and it goes down and it flows in well when it's with the hug of, and the caress and the lullaby of the mother. That's the Dveikus together with the Limud HaTeira L'shma. There is a pshat from the Chida, which is a little different than this Rosh, because the Rosh says it has to be L'shem HaTeira and not what? What's the not what? Lizgais. That's this Rosh. The Chida says V'loy L'kabel Pras. I'm sorry, the Chida says V'loy L'kabel Pras. L'shem HaTeira and not to get reward. You know, Chazal is full of the great reward for someone who learns Torah, especially our Mishnah we just read. And if you learn Torah, you get all this. Says the Chida, but you don't learn for this. That's not what you should be learning it for. That's what it means, L'shma. L'shma, L'shem HaTeira. Rosh says, V'loy L'zgayis, not to pride. No. V'loy L'kabel Pras. You're not looking to have rewards. That's called L'shma. The Tveris Yisrael, on this Mishnah, says L'shma, and not to not get punished for not doing it. You know, there's so much Chazal about someone who doesn't learn how much punishment he'll get. So L'shma could be, I'm learning for the Torah and not to get punished. That's called L'shma. L'shma for Torah and not that I shouldn't get punished. So I don't know, are they arguing? Meaning, according to the Tveris Yisrael, would it be a chisarain in L'shma if I learnt it L'shem Pras? If I learnt it in order to get reward? I don't know. Lav Dafka, maybe not. Maybe if I learn Torah to get reward, there's nothing wrong. Chazal tell us the great rewards in the Torah. The Mishnah says you get Zeich L'dvarim Harbe. So maybe I can learn for reward. The only thing is, I can't learn not to get punished. If I do it only because I'm afraid, that's not called L'shma. The Chida learns more. You need to have L'shma L'shem HaTeira and not for the sake of the reward. In Hasidish Svarim, there's a lot of talk about Teira L'shma in a more Kabbalistic form. The world was created through Teira. These are called the Shemais of the Teira. The Oisius HaTeira create the world. So you have to learn the Teira L'shma in order that through the learning of the Teira, the world exists. Teira is the existence of the world, so you have to learn Teira L'shma to have the existence of the world. Sfasemis. And the Sfasemis and the Teira, the Sfasemis, he explains Teira L'shma like this. In the Yeshiva Welt, they pretty much want very strictly to follow the inyan of Teira L'shma, Reb Chaim Volozhiner. That Teira has to be L'shem HaTeira, like this Rosh. But it's interesting that in Ruach Chaim, which is the Pirush of the Rosh, of Reb Chaim Volozhiner on the Mishnah, he adds an extra word. To learn Teira for Ahavas HaTeira. In Nefesh HaChaim, he uses this Rosh to learn Teira for the sake of Teira. And he explains, to learn more and to know more, and for the sake of Ahavas HaTeira. Yeah. You know, I want to tell you something interesting. You know, when you make Birchas HaTorah in the morning, it's different than all other Birchas HaMitzvahs. Birchas HaMitzvahs usually is one bracha. Here, how many brachas we have? Two. V'harivna and Ashabach Arbonu. And even the two is not just strictly Asher Kichonu B'mitzvahis V'tzivanu. It's Asher Kichonu B'mitzvahis V'tzivanu, then V'harivna, and then Ashabach Arbonu. Which actually means there's three themes in Birchas HaTorah. There's theme number one, Asher Kichonu. There was a mitzvah to do. Maharev, sweet. Ashabachar, praise that we are chosen. Reb Chaim Valojin, I'm sorry, the Brisker Rav speaks a very good question. Women make Birchas HaTorah, but they're not mitzvah in Talmud Torah. They're not mitzvah in Talmud Torah, so why are they making Birchas HaTorah? So the Beis HaLevi in Pashas Mishpatim says there's two parts to Talmud Torah. There's one part of Talmud Torah to learn for the sake of learning that women don't have. There's another part of Talmud Torah which is to learn in order to know the mitzvahs. Okay, it's interesting that the Chaya Adam learns that that's called Torah Lishma. The Chaya Adam in the Hakdama brings, and it's a Reishis Chachma. What's called Torah Lishma? Torah to keep the mitzvahs. Lishma for what it says inside the Torah, which is really the pshat that the Beis HaLevi is saying why women make Birchas HaTorah. Because they have, for example, a woman has to light Shabbos candles. How would she know how to light Shabbos if she doesn't learn the halachas? Nida, chala, so she has to learn those halachas. That's Talmud Torah, and she makes a bracha for that. Which according to the Chaya Adam and Reishis Chachma before him, this is called Lishma. It comes out that actually women learn Torah Lishma. Women are actually learning Torah Lishma, which is a big chizuk, which is a big thing for the women to know in the Bisyankivs. According to many opinions, your Torah is mamish Torah Lishma. The Brisker Rav, though, brought from Reb Chaim, which is interesting, who argues on the Beis HaLevi, it's his father, that actually Birchas HaTorah is not a Birchas HaMitzvahs. Women do it, it's a simon that it's not a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah in Talmud Torah, which he's arguing on the Beis HaLevi. So why do they make Birchas HaTorah? Because Birchas HaTorah is Birchas HaShevach. Praise. Shevach. Praise. So I think to myself, why is there Birchas HaTorah Shevach? It's not Birchas HaMitzvahs. It's a Birchas HaShprei. And you see clearly, Ashabach Arbonu, Mikol Amim, it's a different type of a bracha. And that's shayach to women. So I have two pshatim in it. Pshat number one. Because Torah, it's not enough just to learn Torah as an act. Torah needs to be learnt with appreciation and love. The first bracha is Vaharivna. Sweet. Love. Cheshik. Ahava. Harevna, it should be sweet to me. The second bracha is Ashabachar, with appreciation. Haracha. You have to appreciate the Maila of Torah. The Tiferes Yisrael actually uses this lashon in the word Lishma. The Tiferes Yisrael says, what's called Lishma? Not for punishment, like I told you before. Rak bavur Shma HaGadol. Shnizbarloi kovi gadla. You realize how great, how big Torah is. Nizbarlo kvoi gadla. Kihi tachlis kol adam, v'tachlis kol abriya. It's the purpose of man and creation. Teira. Ashabach habonim mikol amim. Purpose, creation. Why were we created? Hashem chose us. So the two brachas are actually explaining. A, Asher Kitchonim and Mitzvayisim Lasei, that's the act. But with the act, there's two other parts to Talmud Torah. And that is, Torah Lishma, what does Lishma mean? Aharev, Ahavas HaTorah, the Ruach Chaim. The second part is, besides that, there's also Haracha, Mailos HaTorah, to see how important, how great Teira is. Tachlis HaBriya. Hashabach HaBanu. That's the second bracha. In a different shiur, we're going to talk how women have shaykhs to all this. What shaykhs have this? The Abbas HaTorah? Maybe. You know, there's two parts to Abbas HaTorah. Abbas HaTorah is the love of the actual Torah. And Abbas HaTorah, like we said, is the haracha through understanding how great Torah is. You know what women do? Women bring up their children. The Gemara says, what schus Torah do they have? They wait for their husbands and they take the kids to the yeshiva. If there wouldn't be a Torah, children would never turn out normal. It's impossible. Take a child, the same without Torah. Look at the public schools. So there's no one more than a mother who knows the greatness of Torah. Ashabacha. You know, she has a husband that she can be happy that he comes home. And that their children go to school and do what they're supposed to do. This Rabbi Isai is Ashabacha Bonim Mikol Amim Avas HaTorah. Harachas HaTorah. Shebach. That's why women maybe have a chelik in that part of Torah. The Pasuk says, Shema b'ni musar avicha, v'alti ta'ish, Torah simecha, mishle perik aleph. What's Torah simecha? And the answer is, we don't mean Torah Rambam. We mean Torah, the mother, has a special Torah. That is chinuch Torah. It's the chinuch of Torah. Could you imagine without a Torah what it would look like? I want to tell you, years ago I used to have major, I guess we could call it almost fights, almost fist fights, with many of the parents here in the yeshiva. They didn't want their kids to learn. They wanted college, they wanted public school. And I would tell them, you don't realize the greatest and best thing I could do for your son is to learn with him. No, what, when, school, doctor, bash, 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 okay. Years later, those that stayed in the yeshiva, the parents came back to me and told me, I can't tell you how much we thank you. When they ever get together at the chasanas, those that stayed in the yeshiva, they're married with children and beautiful. And those that went the other way, Shem Yishmar, the difference, the contradiction, the contrast is so startling and so striking. How many parents came over to me and said, thank you for forcing me. As I told you, one day you'll understand what I'm talking about. The difference between a home that has Torah in it and a home that unfortunately does not have Torah, I don't have to tell you. You know what goes on in the outside world. I don't have to tell you, right? This Rabbi says where the mother says, Hashabach Rabbonim Yikol Amim, a Shevach for Torah. Torah Simecha. This is Torah Simecha. I think years ago I once said a pshat, when Yaakov Avinu sees Yosef, Pasuk says Yosef falls on his father and he kisses him, while Yaakov didn't do so. Rashi says, why did Yaakov not fall on Yosef and kiss him? He was in the middle of Kriyashma. You have no other better time to read Kriyashma. You couldn't think of a... So I always say, Pshat, he was traveling. Traveling, he couldn't read Kriyashma. So the minute he came to Mitzrayim, this is my Kriyashma. He had to... Yosef was able to read before. He doesn't have to wait till the last second to read Kriyashma. Maral says differently. Maral says, at that moment that he saw his son, he wanted to join the love of his son with the love of Hashem. Share, so to speak. Divide the love. Yes, I love my son. That love, together with the Eibishter. I want to remember that I love the Eibishter too. To share the love with Hashem. Rabbi Yeruchim used to say over that you think it's only Yaakov Avinu? Every Jewish mother has this. He said over that the Chafetz Chaim, when his son passed away, he said, you know, Rabbeinu Shlomo, till now, I had to share my love. You and my son. Now that my son is not here anymore, I could devote all my love to you. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, yeah, the Chafetz Chaim, but where did he get it from? He said, actually, it's a story from the Inquisition of a mother who laid on top of her child after the child was killed. And she looked upwards and she said, Rabbeinu Shleilam, my son and you, I had to share the love. Now that my son is not here anymore, I could devote all my love to you. Said Rabbi Yerucham that the Chafetz Chaim said, okay, Chafetz Chaim was a Kaidish, was Kaddish Elyon. But the Jewish mothers, that everyone in Klal Yisrael has this kayach, this ability to share their love, Rabbeinu Shleilam, and their children. This is the Shevach that we give, Ashabach Arbanu, because of our children, meaning Rabbeinu Shleilam, I understand, yeah, that my child and you, it's all connected. I think with this I can explain really why, another pshat, why Yaakov Avinu read Kriya Shema when he sees Yosef. You know, the Mefarshim tell us that Yaakov was afraid to come down to Mitzrayim. He was scared, what is he going to see? What is he going to see already in his son? Who knows what he's going to look like? Can you imagine 22 years in Mitzrayim, the land of Tumah? He was terrified. What's he going to look like? I didn't expect to see your face. I expected to see Joe. I didn't expect to see Yosef HaTzadik. I expected to see Joe. I came and I see Yosef. I don't see Joe. Yaakov says, I know where that comes from. You had Yirah Shemayim. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elikeinu. I know what to thank. Birchas HaTorah. Shevach, I praise the Eibishter. Because I know that it was the Eibishter. I know it was Yirah Shemayim that kept him all these years. That's why when he sees Yosef, Shema Yisrael, I know he's thanking the Hashem. It is you. It is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim that kept him. Yes, it's a very nice vart. This is something I was mechadish this year. I think it's a merdik vart. A whole new teher. That at the moment that he sees Yosef, he's thanking the Rabbeinu Shalom, cook, look, I didn't expect to believe Mamish as if he never left my house. How? In Mitzrayim? Shema Yisrael. Koyach of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. These are the Nyanim of Shevach that the mother also has Shaychus to the Torah. But Al Kapanim, what do we have? We have a big Yisayt. That Torah is Asher Kitchanim Mitzvot of Lasik, like Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Torah Lasik L'Shem Esik. You know what Esik is? When someone says Esik, I always translate it as business. Ma'asakim. You ever see what a guy tells you in Hebrew? Ma'asakim shelcha. You know what asakim is? Business. A person has to learn Torah like it's his business. When a guy has a business, you know what they say? He's 24 hours a day thinking about his business and how he can get more products and make more money and expand. That's this rush. Mamash, the words of the rush. L'shem ha-tayro kigoyin leida lahavin lahaysiv lekach. More products. More on the shelves of Teira. More Teira. More business. Asik. Asher kitzanu b'mitzvayis of etzivanu la'asoik. Like an asik ha-tayro. You hear? But there's also two more parts that must be emphasized and brought out and expressed, and that is v'harev ahavas ha-tayro, which is the Ruach Chaim. On top of Torah L'Shem HaTorah, they're supposed to be in it, Ahavas HaTorah. And also, that's Vaharev. And also, Ashabach HaRbanu, Mailos HaTorah. How important, how lucky we are to learn Torah. Do we have such a thing today, Rabbi Yisai? Does it apply to us? You know, I talk about Torah L'Shma, if I was thinking, I can't even learn Torah. You want me to learn Torah Lashma? I can hardly learn Torah. You want me to on top of that learn Torah Lashma? You know, the Chidah brings from Chaim Vital that already in his time nobody learned Torah Lashma. How do you know? Because the Mishnah says, Yozaychet, who knows what? Shekolayim Kedai Nikareya Ohu. Nobody has all this. Who has all this? All the things, the attributes that a person has for learning Torah, nobody got it. It's impossible. There's an expression in Yiddish, Alts Ba'enim Netaba Kainim, that everyone, that there should be every mila, every attribute by one. No such thing. Alts Ba'ena, everything by one, Shtab Ba'kainim by nobody. There's no such thing. And here the Mishnah is saying, if you learn Torah Lishma, everything, all the attributes. So mela must be that we don't learn Torah Lishma. That's how the Chidah brings from Reb Chaim Vital. Interestingly, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer got up at the Levaya of the Chazon Ish and he said that obviously the Chazon Ish learned Torah Lishma. How do we know? Because all the things it says in the Mishnah, the Chazon Ish had. He was Reya and he was Ahuv and everybody came to ask him advice. Whatever it says in this Mishnah about learning Torah Lishma is all true, came true in the Chazon Ish, which is a proof that he did learn Torah Lishma, which is interesting, because the Chidah says already in his time, no such thing. So obviously, if we talk about learning Torah Lishma, but then on the other hand, we're saying it's almost impossible, so what's to talk about? And the answer must be, I believe, that there's different levels. There's different levels of Lishma. There's Lishma, of course, the ultimate Lishma, like the Chazon Ish, like the Chidah is talking about, such ultimate Lishma, you're right. But then we have lower levels of Lishma. We can obviously come and say, Avas HaTorah. Now what does Avas HaTorah mean? So we know, Rebbech Ber Zecher Tzadik Livracha was a prince in Avas HaTorah. This was one of his, he exalted the beauty of Avas HaTorah. They say over a very nice mice, it's in the book of Rebbech Ber, that there was a fire near his home. So they were afraid, anticipation that the fire would spread. So he told his wife quickly, let's go save belongings, let's get the stuff out of the house. Comes running out with a box. He tells her, I saved my jewelry, was his svarim. I saved my jewelry, better run, go get your jewelry. Svarim, he called him his jewelry. Rebbech Ber had tremendous avas HaTorah. To him, beauty, Torah, gewaldig. I would say even that's not for us. That's for tzaddikim maybe from a previous generation. That they should have such love for the Rebbeinu Shloim and such love for Torah. You know, I don't think the Olam knows. There was a time and a place, and I saw this by Yidden who left Europe. They almost don't exist, such Jews anymore. That when they came into the shul, they would hug the Aron HaKodesh, they would hug the Pareichus, and then when they would leave, they would bow. And it's all in Halacha, Rabbi Zayin. Still do it. Still do it. Ashkenazim used to do it. It's put on Halacha to do it. All this is in Halacha. The Halacha says clearly that when you get up from the, you're supposed to bow down. The Ramah brings it down in Kuf Lamed Beis at the end of the Sea Beis over there. The Mamash, the end of Kuf Lamed Beis, that when a person leaves, he's supposed to bow down. Like when he leaves the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishabura brings it down. And the Shari Tshuva, the Behetiv, bring down that the Maril is where it comes from. He used to actually bow down three times. Three times. He would bow three times as he left. And as a matter of fact, it says that he wouldn't leave back facing the Aron Kodesh. The Magen Avraham brings it.
Backwards.
There was a time and a place where there was respect, love. Today we come, we go. We're weak. We're weak in Kavod HaTorah. We're weak in Chashivas HaTorah. We're weak in Harachas HaTorah. It's all true. Yet, I still think that we could somewhat touch on the outskirts, so to speak, on the hems of Avas HaTorah, to be tough for something, to work on something of Avas HaTorah, and I'll tell you what I think. That's why I was telling you that the shir is to explain that Torah needs Ahavas HaTorah. Shavuos is about expressing our love for Torah. And I would explain to you what it means to have Ahavas HaTorah and how to apply it to us. We're so weak. We're so far removed from the whole concept of Kavod HaTorah and Ahavas HaTorah. So how do we do have, what is Ahavas HaTorah to us? I want to tell you a Meir Dikamaisa. to me, this was a lesson in life. And maybe I was zeicher because I know the Eibishter knew I was going to teach one day. And I needed to teach Avos HaTorah. So I had this as an example. Once walked into the Svarim store by Zundel Berman. And I see someone standing by the Svarim, the new, you know, they put them out on the tables, the new Svarim. And a guy standing next to this person is reading for him all the names of all the new Svarim. Birchas Chaim, Beis Mordechai. And he says, no. And they're going through the whole. And I'm thinking to myself that if you can't read the name, what it says on the book, then you definitely can't read what it says inside the book, right? There's definitely no need for you to have these books. Reb Zundel Berman once told me that a guy once walked into his store and asked for $10,000 worth of red Svarim. The cover should be red. Why? His bookcases are red. It had to match. His wife told him that they have to have matching Svarim that should match the dining room set. I thought this was the same thing. He can't read the name of the Svarim. So what does he care? What does he? Yes, no, yes, no. I couldn't figure it out. So I went over to David. David is the guy that works over there. He's very hushing, a man, very nice fellow. I said, David, could you explain to me what this is all about? He says, you want to see? He called the guy. The guy couldn't see. He was blind. I realized the guy could, and this guy was taking him. So I say, so what's the point? He says, he buys these Svarim. He gives them to Talmid HaChacham to learn from it. And then while they learn from it, he sits next to them. And he listens to the Kohel HaTorah. He's blind. He was a lawyer. He was once a lawyer and he lost his eyesight. But his love of Torah, so he would buy books. So they would give him the names of the books. And he would say, this is a good book. I could bring it to the yeshiva. They'll use it. Okay? David said to me, you got to get to know this person. So he says, this is Rabbi Wolken from Queens. He says, great. I learn in Aruch Chaim every now and then. I don't know if you saw him, he comes sometimes with a dog. He used to come with a seeing dog. Okay? He says, I know Rabbi Wolken, sure. Could you, and he tells the guy who was taking, could you bring me so-and-so safer, and this safer, and that safer? It's perfect for Rabbi Wolken. Yeah? He brings me the Svarim. I didn't want to take it. So he asked David for a pen, and he writes, he couldn't see. So he wrote my name just anywhere on the front cover, you know, when he opened the book. I said, what are you doing? He says, like this, I know it's sold, it's finished, the deal is done. I know you weren't going to take it. Sold. Finished. My little Mishnah Berurah, I have a little set of Mishnah Berurah that I take whenever I travel. He bought me that set of Mishnah Berurahs. This is Avos HaTorah. Tell me, are we blind? We see. You're right, sometimes we have a hard day. You're right. Sometimes it's not easy to come Sunday morning to the shiur. Is it easy for him? And yet he finds a way to express Avos HaTorah. How much could we learn from this? Avos HaTorah, Avos HaTorah, Avos HaTorah, Avos HaTorah. Imagine, imagine someone who's blind. And this is his love for Torah. It's a beautiful story. If you only knew how much I learned from this. How much this was a light all my life. I always think about this story. As Azam mentioned, someone could think of a way so he should sit in the Beis Medrash to listen to the Kohel HaTorah while they're learning with his Svarim. And that's his Zechus HaTorah. Someone's going to ask, but I don't have this Avos HaTorah. What should I do? I don't have it. I want you to know, Rabbi Yisai, that I thought about this for a long time. How do you teach Avos HaTorah? I could tell you stories about blind people. Yeah, true. But I want you to know that I believe, over the years I came to understand, I believe this with all my heart, Avos HaTorah doesn't have to be taught. It's a natural, inborn hergish in every yid. It's from within the yid himself. We could ruin it. We could destroy it with gaiva, with bad midas and bad ashkafis. We could ruin it. But it's really there. And I learned this from another story, Rabbi, I'm going to share with you. There was a Talmud here in the yeshiva. He came here. I'm not going to mention his name because you all know who it is. He's today from the big Chashver Rabbanim in your community. But when he came to this yeshiva, he came with a polo shirt, the colored shirt with the colored pants. He broke away from the college. He would go to college. And then he would come here and he would sit in my share. I saw he had no knowledge of the Gemara. He didn't know the Gemara I was teaching. He couldn't, because he never had any background. He was never taught. But he would argue in middle shir as I would, you know, but I don't understand that you really, and he was arguing on smarter. He was arguing on the conceptual, but he had no knowledge of the text. The guys in the shir who were already seriously learning, they said, you know, this is not a, you know, it's not a beginner shir. You belong in a beginner shir where they teach you the Gemara. You should find the shir like that. This is not it. You can't come without knowing the Gemara and ask questions. And I hear in his questions that he really wants. And I hear that he has a good head. I see it. I'm listening because everything he's asking is to the point, just it lacks the knowledge of the facts. I see, you know what, leave him alone. Let him be. Let him be. I'll talk to him. He should ask a little less. Let him be. Leave him alone. Good. So happens, a month, 2 months, he comes and he's asking it. And I'm excited. The kid is a brilliant kid. I can't get over it. And a young guy, a young, you know. He stopped coming. Stopped coming. I thought maybe somebody said something to him. Someone told him. You know, you never know behind my, after the shir, what someone. So I turned to the guys to ask him, tell me, did you know what's going, why this guy disappeared? So he says, ah, Rabbi, listen. His father and his mother, one's a doctor, one's a lawyer. They hate religion. You have no idea. They found out that he comes to the yeshiva here and he learned. You have terrible. To the point that they took his tefillin that they brought him at his bar mitzvah and they put in the incinerator.
What?
They burnt his tefillin. They threw out his tefillin. They burnt his tefillin. That's how much hatred and fear. They had fear that he's becoming Dati, cult. So I told the guys in yeshiva, tell the parents we're not a cult, we're normal people. Torah we learn is intellectual. It's, and if they need to, be, they shouldn't be afraid of me. I'll put on a cap. I'll put on a blue shirt if I have to. What is that? I don't know, some kind of cool jacket or something, whatever. I'll come there and I'll say, hey, I'm one of you. I can also be normal and I'm a normal guy. I'm not going to steal your kid. It's never going to work. Never going to work. You don't know how Sainu Das, how much they hate. I gave up. I hear this from the Talmidim. I figure it's a lost cause. 6 months pissed. I didn't hear from him. I get a message. One of the guys bring me, you know, so and so. I met him and he sent me a message to tell Rebbe that Rebbe. I go, so-and-so. I couldn't even remember his name because it was months. I go, you know the kid with the Polish or the school? Yeah. Okay. Rebbe, the reason why I stopped coming, I go to college. My parents found out that I come here between sessions. So they lock me up. They lock me up in the room. They don't let me out only during college hours. Yeah. They don't want that I, so they keep me under lock and key, so to speak. At the time, I couldn't stay lock and key. Why are you talking? I guess college. You know, you see today, unfortunately, you know, people get locked up for 10 years. They can keep someone away for 10 years, they can keep them locked in a basement. Okay. They locked me in the room. Yeah. But they don't know that I'm in the room while they're locking me and thinking I'm locked away from the Torah. I'm learning day and night because on the internet I was able to get all the svarim, and I sit and learn Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Rishonim, and I'm growing every day in Torah. This was the message that was sent. Years later, he came back to the yeshiva, he got married, he learned kollel here, he became a big rav recently in the community. How did this boy learn Avos HaTorah? I want to know who taught it to him. What example did he see? But his parents? Did he see Avos HaTorah in his house? Did he see it in the college? I want to know where he picked it up from. Where did this kid see an example of Avos HaTorah that he became such a, that he was ready to give it all up, so to speak, for Torah? And you know what the answer is? Every Yid has it within him. And if you're pure, and if you're nucky, you could cultivate. You could cultivate that Avos HaTorah. I'm like, not good. This Rabbi says a Rambam. Rambam says, "V'lo yishevet Levi bulvad." You know, Shevet Levi was separated from the rest of the world to be a holy kaidish, to be a clay kaidish. Says the Rambam in the end of Shmita v'Yovel, Perek Yud Gimel Alachi, "Lo yishevet el kolish v'ish mikol bayaylam." The whole world, Ashenad v'ruchay sevina matay libadel, to separate Lamid lifnei Hashem u'sharasu lavdei l'deis Hashem. It's possible. You know why? Rambam says, "V'holach yashar," because he goes straight. Kimaisha asa alekim, the way the Rebbein Shem created him. Man was created pure. Uparak mal tzavare olach cheshbeinis harab mashibikshem bnei adam, and he threw away all the complications that man searches in life. If we don't ruin the Avos HaTorah, we don't ruin it, we'll have tremendous Avos HaTorah. Inside every Yid, there's a tremendous Avos HaTorah. Yes, there's Avos HaTorah from Gedolim. It's true. There's Avos HaTorah, that the love. You know, I once told you over from my Zayde, Rav Meisha Landinsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, had tremendous Avos HaTorah. That he once walked into the Beis Medrash in Radin Yeshiva, and he saw the way everybody's learning, and he was so moved by it. It meant so much, it warmed him so much, that he went over to the oven, the heater in the yeshiva that was like an oven. In Yiddish, an oven is an evale. An aven is an oven. And if you say it warmly, it's evale. Like yankale, evale. So he walked over to the, as he walks into the Beis Medrash, he gives the kiss to the furnace, and he says, evale, oven, I envy you. Look how much Torah is learned because of you. I gave it a kiss. Kiss the oven. Evale, he says, oven. Look how lucky you are. That's Avos HaTorah, from Gedolim. Big people. Our Avos HaTorah should be, we don't desecrate the Torah. That's already a good enough Avos HaTorah for us. That we machshiv the Kavod HaTorah. That when we come home from yeshiva, we come home from work at the, and we say, even if we're tired, I'm going to come to learn. I think that part of Avos HaTorah and that part of Torah Lishma is still applicable in our times. The Yontiv of Shavuos is where we celebrate and express our Avos HaTorah. A person should utilize the Yontiv to search, soul search. Does he really love Torah? Does he really respect the Torah? Is he really ready to give up something for Torah? Are you ready, like this blind person, to find a way to learn Torah? That's called Avos HaTorah. To find a way to learn more. Difficult, yeah, it's difficult. Everybody has it. Nobody has it easy. But this is Avos HaTorah, and this is Torah Lishma. Let's talk to Bizeicha. Have a wonderful Yontav of Shavuos, Kabbalah HaTorah, and we should talk to Bizeicha to feel the taste, the love of Torah. The Aruch Chaim writes, "Ubeirachtas kol atayv." You should thank Hashem on all the good. Included in this is Torah. Why? He says Torah is very good. He says it's delicious. He says if anyone ever tastes, for truthfully tastes, he really gets a good taste of Torah, he'll never want to stop learning. He'll run in the streets like a drunk runs after his bottle. of whiskey, addicted to Torah. Torah could be an addiction. Yeah, Torah could be addicted to Torah. But you have to first taste. You got to get that first good taste of Torah. And then you bench Hashem, Bichas HaShevach, Av Kol HaTov, on all the good. That's what I was telling you. V'harifna, first make it sweet. And once it's sweet, then I do Asher Bachar Banu, Birchas HaShevach, thanking the Eibishter that he gave it to us. First Vaharev, first Rabbi Yishu, give us the taste of it. Now we say, now that we got the taste, thank you for it. Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amin, V'nas Alonu Es Teirosai. We celebrate Nesinas HaTayra, so we'll celebrate the Vaharevna, and we stay up all night to show the Vaharevna that it's sweet, and that we can't sleep, and in anticipation of getting this great Gevaldig thing called Torah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.